Certainly good to see each and every one here tonight, and we need to remember all these in prayer that are sick, and remember Mark, and continue to pray for him this week as he's in revival. I know Kenny's somewhere tonight preaching, and some of the Rock of Ages guys, they're down in the prisons preaching, and it's just good that God will allow and call men to preach, and God could use them to help somebody else. And really and truly, that's what preaching is all about, is being able to help somebody that has a great need in their heart and in their life. And I want you to pray for me tonight. Certainly do that. And we'll look at the scripture and bring the message that God's placed upon our heart. Old-timey men like myself, we used to call Wednesday night, what kind of meeting do we have? Prayer meeting. And we're going to preach on prayer tonight. If there's ever anything that God's made possible for all His children, all of them, God teaches us how to pray. And that's a wonderful thing that God would do for each and every one of us. And tonight we're going to try to deal with that subject. Being an intercessor for God. We need to be an intercessor for the Lord. And we need that very much. Let's go to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 59. And begin there at verse number 1. And if you don't mind standing for the reading of the Word of God, we'll start reading there in verse number 1. I've tried to put a lot of time in studying God's Word. And every time I see something that might seem unusual and I study it out, I can find a whole lot more things that God would deal with our hearts about. And I believe prayer is one of the greatest things that you and I will ever experience in our lives. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers were with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, and they speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch a cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. And the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. And they make a haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destructive are their paths. The way of peace they have not. And there is no judgment in their doings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not no peace. Therefore, in judgment, far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. Or brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night, and we are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as far as our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking of oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart of words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away and away backward, and judges standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot enter. Yea, truth falleth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and is displeased at him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Brother Steve, would you lead us to God in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. I want to preach on this word tonight concerning intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 59, verse number 1, it said, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear." And then listen to verse number 16. "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered why there's no intercessor. And wondered," the Bible says, "therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness had sustained him." We want to look here this morning as we read these verses here in the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 15, chapter number 16, and the other verses that I read also. It seemed like a very hard message and a very hard thing, maybe for some people to really understand some wonderful thing about praying. But God is very precious in the things that he teaches us. And he's very simplistic in a lot of things that happen in our lives. And he says in the latter part of that verse, he said there in verse number 16, he said, "There's no intercessor. There's no intercessor." And God was looking at this at a time whenever it seemed like the whole world had turned against God. Nothing was taking place that was really good. All these verses that we've read, the Bible tells us different things that happened in people's lives, and yet it seemed like that nothing of any progress was being made at all. And then the Bible comes down and we read this verse here, and the Bible says here that what a wonderful thing we have as we go to approach our God. You see, prayer is a way that we approach God. We talk to him. We pray to him. We trust him with everything that we have. And then God said there's no intercessor. And God said this, and he teaches us this here, that a person that would pray for another. And that's what an intercessor is. It's a person that not only prays for themselves, but it's a person that prays for somebody else. You see, there's a lot of people in this life, as we know here, here this evening, that still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things happening in this world today that seems like it just blows our mind because of the things that are taking place here upon this earth. And we come to find this, that the Bible says this, as we come to approach God, a holy God, and here we see this, that would be able to answer the needful prayer of another. God can do this. You see, God can answer prayer. We've all experienced that in our hearts and in our lives. We've all experienced this. And so here we go to God and we approach Him. And the Bible tells us this, that we got a great need to pray, like we've never had before in our lives at the time of this time of world that we're living in. And we got a great need to pray. And the Bible tells us that we need to certainly do this. This is one of the reasons that I think that even though that we think sometimes maybe that we don't have no need. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so most of us, if not all of us, are. But still yet we need to pray. We need to pray for somebody else. You see, we're missing some of the things that God tells us in His Word that's so important to us. And whenever we go, we approach God. And we approach Him in our daily lives as we pray. And we think about this. Have I prayed for anybody except for myself? And we're getting to look at these things. And we think about what God would want us to do. And so we should even be the case that we would certainly see the need of another, that we ought to pray for that person also. We need to do that. We need to do that. I'd say there's more lost people in the world today than there's ever been in the history of this world. I believe that. And there's people everywhere we go that are still lost without God. And you see, the thing about this is some cannot and some will not pray for themselves. And God said this. He said, I'm looking for an intercessor. I'm looking for somebody that will pray not only for themselves, but will pray for somebody else. And I think God does, and God's looking for that particular person. And you see, when I begin to study the Scripture, and I look at this, and I see some things that God's telling me, and then I want to share some of those things with you tonight that help us better understand why we should just not pray for ourselves, but pray for somebody that cannot or somebody that will not pray. And there's people like that. There's people that will not and people that could, but sometimes often do not pray. And the Bible tells us this in the Word of God. Well, here we find this, number one, what is prayer? Prayer is our reproach to God, our reproach to Him. You see, we come to God in prayer. We come to Him in prayer. Here we see this, He's the King of glory. And there's a very specific need, either for ourselves or for somebody else. The Bible tells us this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5. It says, For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. This word sanctified, it means to set apart. It's God sets it apart. And God give us something every one of us can do. And that's not only to pray for ourselves, but to pray for somebody else. While I was watching the children sing tonight, the young people sing, I saw a little boy up there. And he's lifting his hand just like that. And he was singing to the top of his voice. And I think to myself, glory to God. Amen. Amen. For even a child will do something to recognize God in their life. How precious that is. And I think about this tonight as we approach God. As we come to a time in our life, sometimes we may pray of a morning, sometimes we may pray of a night. And you may have a special place or whatever, but the Bible says here that it is sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. This word sanctified, it means to set it apart. To set it apart. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11, he says, I exhort thee first of all. And this word exhort, it means just like this. God would say this, I beg you to pray. I beg you to pray, not only for yourself, but pray for somebody else that has a need in their heart and a need in their life. And not only that, he would say something like this: not only do I beg you to pray, but I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to pray. And then not only that, but he could say this. He says, I can challenge you to pray. I challenge you. I'll tell you what, folks, we've seen a lot of things happen in some nearly 48 years or 49 years. We've seen a lot of people get saved by the grace of God. And I'll tell you something happened. Just about every one of those people that come and give their heart to God, somebody was praying for them. Amen? Amen. Somebody. Somebody was praying for them, and somebody needed prayer. You see, this world, they don't understand God as a lot of us do here this evening, and most of us, no doubt for sure. And so the Bible says that there were and are people that are seeking the hearing and the presence of God in the behalf of others. And that's what God said here. He said when there's no intercessor, when nobody praying. I hope and pray America never gets to that point in the generations of life which we live, that we get to the place that we don't pray for them people that need it. Amen? I hope and pray we never get that far away from God. Let me give you two examples of intercessory prayer. Number one, we find in Romans chapter 8, verse number 27. And here, they were making intercession for Israel. You know, Israel has went through a lot of things. And people today, they think Israel's one of the most ungodly people in this world because who they believe in. But I'll tell you what, we ought to pray for Israel. Amen? We ought to pray for our nation. We ought to pray that God would give them some peace, and that God could give them the things, Lord, there that they need. And the Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And the Bible says in the Word of God, we ought to always pray for Israel. We ought to always pray for Israel. Not only that, we see the intercession of the Holy Spirit for the saints of God. You know, we need prayer too. Everybody saved by the grace of God, we need prayer. We need somebody to pray for us. I'll tell you something, we're not immune to some things that happen in people's hearts and people's lives. We're not immune to that. But we need prayer. We need somebody that'll pray for us. And Romans chapter 8, verse number 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather than that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. And that's what the Lord doing. And that's what the Lord is doing. And we look at this, and we see here that Christ is making intercession for us. And so we need to pray. Listen to verse number 16 again as we look at this verse. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered why there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. Now the scripture said this, that there's no intercessors. People wasn't praying like they should. And the Bible said, here's three things that the Word of God says that God did for them and did for us. Number one, God's arm brought salvation to us. It certainly did. Nobody else could have done that. Nobody else loved us that much. Preach on the hand of God. But I look at tonight, but Lord, he's changed our mind to this subject here this evening. But the thing about it is, it's God's arm that brought that salvation to us. Not only that, we see number two, God gave us his righteousness. We don't have our own because we're not righteous. But thank God, God is, amen. And so we look at this and just think at what God's done for us. And you say, well, preacher, why are you teaching to us about prayer tonight? Because of how important it is. Because we see this here tonight. And the Bible says that it sustained us. And it also satisfies us. I wouldn't give this world for what Christian people have in their heart and in their life. No, sir. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I surely wouldn't, because of what the Lord's done for us. And the Bible said here that we need to see the need to be able to pray. If we do not need anything from God, you know what we need to know? We need to know that other people do. They have something they need from God. I don't know if there's any lost people here tonight. I don't know that. I don't know if everybody's saved or not. I do not know that. I'm not God. But there may be somebody here. There may be somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if just in a few minutes now we could all come together and just pray to God and say, God, you bless me so much, God. And tonight I don't want anything for myself, but I just love to see that lost person come and give their heart to God. And wouldn't that be wonderful? God, you've blessed me so much. And God, you've done so much for me. And God, all I want to do is just pray for that person that cannot, and maybe for that person that will not pray. Amen. We look at this, and the Bible tells us this. If I only pray for myself and I do not pray for others, I'm going to miss a lot of blessings that God could put in our heart. I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss those blessings. You can see there is a need to pray. If we do not need anything from God ourselves, we know several people that do need something from the Lord God. And we need to pray for that person also. And when I look at this also, I find in the book of Mark in chapter 2 and verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And you've read scripture, and you'll find out the Bible says something very unusual about this man that had the palsy and was trying to get to Jesus. The Bible says he was born of four. He was born of four. And we look at this, and the Bible tells us in the Word of God here that this is exactly what happened. He couldn't get there by himself. So he needed somebody to help him. And four men got together, and they carried him, and they broke up the roof, and they led him right down in front of the presence of the Lord, and God saved his soul.
Amen.
Not only did he do that, he healed his body. You see, the Bible says in the Word of God that he's born of four. Four people got together. And I get to thinking every once in a while, 200 people. How many of us could get together and oftentimes and have a place and pray like on Wednesday night, prayer meeting night, and just come together and pray. And pray for people that can't do it themselves. He couldn't get there. But the Bible says in the Word of God, they got there. And they got him there. And God did the rest. Amen. That's exactly what's happened. You know what? One thing about life is this, and it don't take you long to learn. There's just certain things that we can do, and most of the time we mess them things up. But God does everything. God does everything. And the Bible tells us here. And here we need to get this. We need to get there, and we need four people. And everybody, one get on each side and pick it up and go to it and take that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got three friends here tonight, I know. And if you know somebody's lost, and you can confide with those three more people, and if you and myself too, well, just think about this and say, well, listen, I know a person that's lost. I want you to help me pray for them this week, that God could give them one more opportunity to come to Calvary Baptist Church and be saved by God's grace. And I believe God would move rocks, amen, if we could just get to that place where we could do that. You see, God's a great God. He certainly is. And the Bible says here, we need to get one on each side. God wonderfully wonder why there's no intercessor. Let me share three things with you real hurriedly. Number one, God will hear the prayer of a righteous person. God will do that. He'll hear that prayer. God will also hear the prayer of a person that's a sinner. God will hear that. Amen. He certainly will. And God will not and cannot hear the prayer of a self-righteous person. So somebody needs to pray. Somebody needs to pray for that person that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to pray for that person. And the Bible tells us in the Word of God that that person, my friend, is me and you. Oh, God, help me to pray for that person that cannot pray. God, help me to pray for that person that will not pray. God, help me to pray for them. God, make an intercessor out of each one of us, Father. Help us. Help us, God, to be an intercessor. Not only that, we find this. God will and He can hear the prayer of a person that will repent of their sin. God does, and God does heal that. Because there was such a need of such in prayer. There's such a need for that here in America today. Sins of the people had separated them from God. Isaiah 59 verse number 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and that He will not hear. And so that's what's happening. That's what's happening. You see, what sin does is this. It don't take a person a little way. It'll take a person far away from God if they're not awful careful. It takes that person really, really far away from God if they're not real careful in their life. It'll take them away from God. And we look at this and we know this. And there the Bible says, they were waiting for light, but they were walking in darkness. Here again in verse number 9 in Isaiah 59, it said, there is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We walk in light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. And I believe what the Bible's telling us here tonight is this, that whenever sin gets a hold of a person, if they're not real careful, it'll take them farther away from God instead of bringing them to God. And that's what sin does. That's what sin does. That's the way it was in my life. And I guess everybody here tonight could say the very same thing, and this is exactly what the Bible says there, that it will. And they were waiting for light, but they were walking in darkness. And here we know this. The Bible said they grouped like the blind and they stumbled at the noonday. In Isaiah chapter 59 verse number 10, it says, we grouped for the wheel, for the wall like the blind. And we group it. We had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in night. And we are desolate in the places of men. And the Bible says this. This is what they did. You've seen people that look for things. And just like trying to find something. And they do it. But the thing about it is, they never find it. They never find it. And that's the way it is tonight with sin. And sin will take a person so far away from God, it seems like they're never going to find it. And the Bible tells us in the Word of God that we need to pray. Need to pray for this person. Because of the way that they're walking. And they're looking for things and they can't find it. They're blind. A sin has blinded their minds and they can't see it. But God said this. I wonder why there's no intercessors. I wonder why. Wonder why. What's happened? What's happened? We look at this. And the Bible says their sins have testified against them. Verse number 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities we know them. We know what separates us from God. God don't hide that from us. We know it. We know what happens. When you miss one service, not too long, you might miss two. And the first thing you know, you'll be separated from God. And afar away from God. Scripture says in verse number 14 that truth falleth in the streets. Truth just falls in the streets. Surely it's not got that bad. Surely it won't. But to a lot of people it has. It's just falling in the streets. And that's where it is. You know what we need to do tonight? We need to pick it up and take it to them. We need to do that. Right after we got saved here 50 years ago, we started a visitation. And right down the road down here is where we went to those, some of those places down there. And I went in one night and I was witnessing this man. And I saw a Bible laying there on his desk. And I asked him, I said this. I said, do you mind if I take your Bible and read it? Read some scripture from it? And he said, no. Well, I opened it up. And you know what I seen in his Bible? Money. And you know what he said to me? I said, listen here, sir. I said, you've got money in this Bible. And he said this to me. He said, the people that I run around with don't want to have anything at all to do with that Bible. And that's where I hide my money. Well, I could have broke my heart. But I told him about Jesus. I didn't shame him. I didn't say any bad thing to him. All I had to do was just tell him about Jesus. An intercessor. Amen. And that's what we are. Every saved person should be an intercessor.
Amen.
We look at this, and the Bible tells us that we should be different. And one, and if no one in Isaiah felt the need to pray for their people, their country, and for their needs, if no one did that, and then we come to America today, and so many things are happening in America and throughout this world, if nobody cares and people quit praying, what's going to happen? Some great things can happen. But I'm sorry to say that most of the time when people quit praying, bad things happen. You say, preacher, well, I'm not good at some things. Everybody I know can pray. All of us can pray. Every one of us, we can pray. If no one in Isaiah's day did this, just imagine the shape that they were in. And then we go to this. If it was not for the encouragement given to the intercessors, and here's part of the rest of the stories. We look at this in Isaiah 59, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear weary that it cannot hear."
Amen.
You see, God hears it, and God says, "I can do it. I can do it." The same one that delivered us can still deliver. He's still God. He's never quit being God. He's always going to be God. He certainly is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will continue to deliver us. Hath God not set before thee every intercessor an open door?" And that's what God does. God sets an intercession before us. Every intercessor has the encouragement of the Son of God. You know what God tells us? He said, "Listen, I'll help you. I'll help you." For that person that don't need help, for that person's turned away from God, and we begin to pray for that person, and God tells us this, God said, "Listen, I'm going to help you. I can help you." And the Bible tells us this. Also, the Holy Spirit of God will help us. And now we cannot keep silence any longer. We need to start praying one for another. Our brothers and our sisters. The devil's like a fox. He'll get in the hen house if we're not careful. He tries to discourage people. He tries to hurt people. He tries to get God's people to sin because he knows this. Whenever a person does like this, it hurts God. Whenever we sin, it hurts God. And the devil don't care. And God says this. He said, "I'll help you." Now let's look at the possibilities of the intercessor. Aaron, because he was a compassionate prayer, he stood between the dead and the living. In Numbers 16:48, "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed, and the sickness left." One man prayed,
amen,
and the sickness left. There's a lot of sickness in this world today. Not all of it's physical sickness, but sometimes it's spiritual sickness. America, Calvary Church, we need to keep on praying. We never should quit. But we simply need to just keep on praying and keep on praying and never give up on God. We should never do that. Prayer was made without ceasing. And Peter was delivered from prison. The Bible says this about Peter. "And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of unto God for him. And when Herod would have been brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers of the door kept the prison." Acts 12, verse number 7. "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And all the chains fell off him, off his hands." And they took him out, and they delivered him. Why? because somebody was praying. Somebody thought enough of somebody who could not or did not pray for themselves that they took time to pray for them. And God delivered Peter. He certainly did. May I say this here this evening? God can still deliver. He certainly can. You can trust God with everything in your heart and everything in your life because God can. He certainly can, and He will. What a blessing to be a part of something like this, that we can be an intercessor for those who could not and maybe would not pray, that we could be their intercessor and we could pray up for them. I hope and pray tonight that somebody had been put on your heart by God, and you can have time, that you take time and spend time to pray for that person. And I know that God will certainly bless you. I know that He will, and I know that He can, because God's always done what He said He would do. He always has. Let's stand together, please.